Chapter 24 Aslan. If only we were in it for the ratings, Connor crowed. They reckon there's more people watching at home than saw the last five Super Bowls and the World Soccer combined. Aslan stared into his coffee. The screen over the bar was showing the courtroom. Nothing was actually happening right then, but people wanted a live feed every hour of the proceedings. The inane commentary from the talking head in the top right corner was on mute. No need to guess at the topic. Everyone was waiting for the prosecution's star witness. Witness. The legal teams were in uproar as to what exactly Rex was. Because he was a dog, a bioform, there was no precedent for them being able to testify. So was he an expert the court had invited to give guidance? Was he just a walking, talking piece of evidence? Whatever the lawyers decided on, the world wanted to see him. A canine face for the vague monstrosity that was bioform research.
I feel ill, he said quietly.
He and Connor had their usual booth, but today they were joined by Maria Helene, down from her office in investigations. Connor had obviously hoped that her presence indicated a softening of her armored social exterior, but so far she had simply sat at the booth's edge and watched the screens. Now she glanced at Aslan, though.
What's the matter with you?
Look, I know for you two it's all about bringing down Murray, but you've seen what Rex has said about what he did. And now he's going to go out and tell everyone about all the civilians he killed, all the terrible things. And he won't know he's incriminating himself or his entire species. He'll just think that he's a good dog.
I don't get you, KJ, Connor told him. We're about to bag a genuine 100% war criminal convicted out of the mouth of his own weapon. Cheer up, you schmuck.
It's my job to report on the bioform so that the higher echelons can decide their fate. I have a report. It says they're intelligent, aware creatures, and they don't deserve to be rendered down for parts like they were robots or something.
Aslan found Alen staring at him hawkishly, paying him far more attention than Connor was.
But we all know that my report won't mean a damn thing against public opinion. And when they hear Rex, then public opinion is going to be pretty solidly anti.
Why do you care? Alen asked him flatly. It seemed a genuine question.
Because it's wrong, Aslan said fiercely. Because in 5 years or 10, we'll look back on all those creatures we killed, and we'll know that we did a terrible thing just because the weather vane of popular opinion was spinning at the time. The ICC will carry the stain forever for being pressured into the wrong call. And I've spoken to Rex. He's confused, and he's frightened, and he's brave. You know, he doesn't have to do any of this. He has free will.
If you say he's got a soul, I'll be sick, Connor put in. Do you think he's got a soul? Helen asked unexpectedly. May my rabbi forgive me, but I prefer the law to theology, Connor told her. At least you get to decide on real things.
Like whether Rex is a person or not? Alen asked. That's real, is it? Our decision will make or unmake the world just because we say this is a thing?
Real enough for me, Connor shrugged.
And you?
Alen turned her sharp gaze on Aslan. He shrugged.
I was never a theologian either.
But then a thought came to him from a long time ago when he was more devout and less jaded.
The Quran, though, do you know what I mean when I say jinn?
Connor tried to exchange glances with Alen, but her attention was solely focused on Aslan. Go on.
The message of the prophet was to both men and jinn, creatures not human but capable of knowing God. Aslan's hands made vague passes in the air as he tried to recapture those long-ago lessons.
So if Jin, then why not Rex? That he was made by man rather than God, does that mean he's nothing?
You worry me sometimes, Connor said, shaking his head.
They're bringing him out, Alen said quietly.
What was happening on the screen was less court business and more some barbaric triumphal procession. Security personnel came first, in stab vests and riot helmets, carrying automatic weapons. And more of them. 6, 8, 10. As though some dour paramilitary Keystone Cops was being played out for the world to see. Then there was a pause, and Aslan realized with bleak humor that it would be a squeeze for Rex to fit through that door. And plainly, nobody had thought it through.
He appeared in the doorway, crouched low, and with his blunt, heavy-jawed head thrust forwards. In that moment, he was every bit the monster that had terrified humanity since the dawn of time. Every wolf howl in the night, every set of gleaming eyes in the darkness. And this was the viewing public's first sight of Rex. He levered himself in one elbow at a time, his hands secured before him in massive shackles. He looked like an ogre, and the security men skittered back as he burst into the courtroom. Aslan almost expected him to lift his head and howl at the indignity of restraint, and then shatter his bonds and run riot. Instead, Rex adopted a hunched, uncomfortable posture at the witness stand, trying to make himself as small as possible, but still looming monstrously over everything. They chained him to the podium, and then they chained him to the floor, and Aslan could see the guards getting bolder the more weight of shackles was added to the bioform. He felt as though any moment they would begin taunting him when they knew they were safe. And Connor said, "It's like they're about to shave him."
"What now?"
"Samson," Alen murmured, and Connor gave her an odd look.
"Well, okay, yes, but I was thinking about the other guy."
At their blank looks, he sighed exasperatedly.
"Oh, come on, KJ, you of all people should get the reference. Didn't you see the movie, at least?"
Aslan nodded belatedly.
"You think he's doomed,"
Alen observed crisply. Her eyes never left the screen.
"I think, now they've seen him, once they hear what orders he followed, the world will call for the extermination of every bioform they ever made. Not just the military models, but all of them,"
Aslan confirmed miserably.
"And it's wrong."
"Yes," she confirmed to his surprise. "It's wrong. And things may go badly if that happens."
"One battle at a time," Connor told them. "Let's nail Murray first. Bitten by his own dog, the bastard. Pure poetic justice," he grinned broadly. "And here come the players."
The court staff were filing in, and not one of them failed to flinch or stop dead at the sight of what was waiting for them.
"Turn the sound up," Connor called. "They're bringing in Murray."